This podcast discusses events of a sensitive nature. Listener discretion is advised.
I was listening to season one, to old episodes of this podcast, and yeah, it was a trip. I don't take it for granted that you're here listening today, and I don't take it for granted that I'm still making episodes of this. Today's episode takes us to the picturesque town of Nanyuki in Kenya. It is the year 2012. On the surface, Nanyuki is a serene destination, known for its natural beauty, its proximity to the majestic Mount Kenya, and other tourist attractions. But beneath that veneer of tranquility, a sinister secret was born one night in March of 2012. And that secret would come to shock the country, Kenya, and haunt one family in particular. Welcome to episode 6 of season 3 of Murder, She Wrote. Thank you for tuning in. Tonight, we revisit the events of March 31st, 2012, when a young woman went missing, only to turn up dead months later, under circumstances that have so far raised more questions than answers. On that fateful night in March 2012, a young Kenyan woman named Agnes Wajiru, mother of a five-month-old baby girl and just 21 years old, would cross paths with soldiers of the Duke of Lancaster Regiment, British Army personnel stationed in Kenya. Little did anyone know that this encounter would lead to a series of events that would send shockwaves across continents. Wajiru, who was working during the day as a hairdresser, accompanied friends to Lions Court Hotel, a hotel in Nanyuki town, whose pub was popular with British Army soldiers who were stationed and training at the British Army Training Unit in Kenya. It's also called BATUK, and it's a permanent training support unit that's based mainly in Nanyuki. And Nanyuki is about 200 kilometers north of Nairobi, which is the capital city of Kenya. But where were Wajiru and her friends heading that night? This is a story as old as time in Kenya. Foreign soldiers docking or training in the country, interacting with women, local women, and negative consequences. It reminds me of this episode in season one, where I covered events in Kenya's coastal town of Mombasa. I don't know if you've listened to or remember that episode. It involved foreign soldiers and two Kenyan women who ended up dead. But also, away from soldiers and dangerous army boys, many Kenyan women in older times and even now often turn to sex work to supplement their income. There is deep and relevant historical context to this whole business, so I myself find no shame in it. Only systemic oppression, systemic impoverishment of a large and soon desperate majority, and the resilience and strength of Kenyan women, who will go to any and all lengths to ensure the children that they are often caring for alone don't walk around hungry or naked. Sadly, there is also sometimes death at the hands of a greedy, cruel, or deranged John. John. Interesting, because these foreign troops who are stationed in Nanyuki, they are often referred to by local Kenyans as Johnnies. Another word I found for them is squaddies. This I found in one of the British media articles about this whole incident. Anyway, these Johnnies' disposable income sometimes ends up in the pockets of young local women, after nights of unspoken experiences. But one such experience was to come under heavy scrutiny because of the events of this night of March 31st, 2012. A former DJ who was working at the bar of the Lions Court Hotel, he He remembers Wajiro coming in with a bevy of other young ladies who were looking to spend some time and for the opportunity to make some money from the journeys, a practice as old as time. And indeed, the last time Wajiro was seen was in the company of soldiers belonging to this regiment training in Nanyuki. And when Wajiro failed to return home after the night of March 31st, her worried family began looking for her. It was quick work for the family to retrace her footsteps on the night she disappeared. Among them, Wajiro's sister Rose, who has been photographed and interviewed and quoted by almost every major British news outlet that covered this incident. Her grief when she discusses the events lends so poignantly to this unfortunate situation. Anyway, the family made quick work of retracing Wajiro's footsteps all the way back to Lion Scott Hotel, where suddenly the trail went cold. No one was talking, and despite the family pleading with hotel management, they couldn't find any more information. It was as if Agnes Wajiro vanished into thin air after arriving at Lion's Court Hotel. Her despondent family, not knowing what to do, not knowing what step to take after they couldn't find any more information, I guess they returned home to continue life, to take care of Wajiro's 5-month-old baby, and to pray and hope for the best. But unfortunately, a few months later, in June of the same year, their worst fears were to be realized. So what happened is the toilets at Lion's Court Hotel got blocked. And looking into this plumbing issue led a staff member to the septic tank of the hotel, where he made a gruesome discovery. It was Wajiro's partially decomposed body. And it was in poor shape too. Her sister speaks of obvious signs of physical assault and decomposition. And indeed, a post-mortem done confirmed this and unveiled shocking facts. Agnes Wajiro had suffered a stab wound to her abdomen and a blow to her chest. These injuries, while severe, were deemed to not in themselves be fatal, and this led investigators to a bone-chilling possibility that Wajiro might have been buried alive. Imagine the terror she must have experienced in her final moments, gasping for breath in the darkness of that septic tank, with her injuries slowly sapping her strength. It's a horrifying scenario that adds another layer of horror to this already tragic tale. Despite these findings, we can only guess why the case went cold until 2021, when The Times, which is a British daily national newspaper based in London, and it is renowned for its investigative reporting. So The Times, they uncovered some dark secrets while investigating this case. The investigation led to the leaking of private Facebook group chats, which were allegedly run by the soldiers of the Duke of Lancaster Regiment, those stationed in Nanyuki in 2012. And these chat screenshots, they sent shockwaves through the public, revealing soldiers making light of Wajiro's murder through memes and callous jokes. The sinister content of these Facebook chats left Kenyans in disbelief and reignited demands for justice. The Times investigation also reported the testimony of a soldier identified as Soldier Y, who reports a fellow soldier, Soldier X, coming into the bar of Lion's Court Hotel that fateful night. Soldier X was frantic, saying that something had gone awry and he had killed a young woman. Allegedly, Soldier X had help to dispose of the body of the presumed dead Wajiro. Soldier Y also expressed sentiments that raised suspicion of a cover-up within the boys' club at Batuk. For, despite reporting the incident to superiors, it went very quiet, very fast, with alleged internal silencing of witnesses. Allegedly. The Duke of Lancaster Regiment, the military unit to which the accused soldiers belonged. There has been some stuff before. One of its members had previously faced allegations of sexually harassing a Kenyan woman. All this raises questions about the regiment's conduct and discipline. And in fact, the British Army training unit in Kenya has found itself entangled in a web of accusations ranging from rape to murder, as well as extensive environmental degradation. The dark tales surrounding this military unit add a chilling backdrop to Wajiro's demise. After the Times investigation's findings came to light, the Directorate of Criminal Investigations in Kenya reopened the case in light of new revelations. And despite a Kenyan inquest ruling that Agnes Wajiro had been unlawfully killed, and a judge's assertion that British soldiers were quite possibly responsible, no one so far has been charged or convicted for her murder. The shadow of suspicion loomed large, and questions about a cover-up loomed larger still. Hotel management also came under suspicion of a cover-up, and it makes sense because how would a hotel guest know how to access a septic tank that's outside guest areas, presumably, and be able to stash a body? Suspicions arise of accomplices too. In an exclusive interview with NTV in Kenya in November of 2022, the Minister of State for the Armed Forces in Britain, James Heapy, emphasized Britain's commitment to investigating Wajiro's death and resolving the murder, but there are still no answers. As I unraveled the intricacies of this case, one thing became abundantly clear. The road to justice can have so many obstacles. The quest for answers seems never-ending. Agnes Wajiro's family, investigative journalists, and Kenyans are demanding accountability. It's a real David versus Goliath. The disparity of resources of many kinds between the two countries cannot be overemphasized or glossed over. The family of Agnes Wajiro can only hope that the authorities in the UK will work to bring the killer or killers to book and deliver them some sort of justice. Small mercy is that the family plans to sue the Ministry of Defence in England to demand answers over her death. And it can never be forgotten that Agnes Wajiro left behind a little girl whose life may have been made so much more difficult by the events of March 31st, 2012, and who may never find answers to burning and painful questions that trace her life. Tragic. Agnes Wajiro, may you rest in peace, and may the killer or killers know no peace. This has been episode 6 of season 3 of Murder, She Wrote. Episode 7 is coming at you fast. It's the season finale. See you then. And until then, take care of yourselves.